Hallelujah. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, this is one of the Apostle Paul's latter letters that he wrote to the church. And one of the things that he was really getting to the church to understand is a lot of the end times things. But on the back heels of that, he wanted them to know and understand that they needed God's direction for their lives. Now, they lived in a unique time period in which they were going to be martyred very soon. But there were storm clouds on the horizon. And you know, we live in a unique time period as well, because the enemy knows that his time is short and he is destroying lives through drugs and through pornography and through addictions and through emotional abuse and through lies and tormenting devils. The enemy is at work in our generation, and we're seeing it played out before our eyes. But what we need in the light of all that is God's direction. You know, it's one thing for us to say, I think I know the way. It's one thing for you to think you know which way to go. But it's a completely another thing when God directs your steps. When God tells you which way to go, that's way better than us thinking, I think I know which to do. I think I know how we should do this. But what we truly need more than anything is God's direction for our lives today. You may think you know what's up. You may think you know how to do something. But if you're not following the Lord, you're going to mess up. You're going to miss something that God wanted you to catch. You're not going to hear something God wanted you to hear. Or you're going to get involved in something God does not want you to get involved in. Or you won't get involved in something that God wants you to get involved in. And in the generation in which we live, it's ever important for us to know and understand and to heed God's direction. Now, what is it about God's direction that's so important? Because God's ways are above our ways. God knows what we don't know. God knows what's behind the corner. God knows what's behind that door. God knows what's motivating people in your life. God knows what they're doing to you. And God knows how to preserve you. God knows how to keep you. God knows how to use you. God can anoint you to bring light into a dark place. Or God may direct your path to go a totally different way to keep you from getting involved in those things that may destroy you. And you have to know and understand, and I know that you probably do, but you have to know and understand and remember that it was God that opened your eyes when you got saved. It was God that opened your eyes to realize you were on the wrong path. You in and of yourself were going down the wrong road. And it took the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit, for you to realize this is not the way I'm supposed to go. God's calling me to Beulah land. God's calling me to his peace. God's calling me to a place where the burdens are lifted at Calvary. God's calling me to a place of freedom and liberty and joy in the Holy Ghost. And when we're left to ourselves, we go the opposite way. I know, I'll speak for myself. When I'm left to myself, I don't go that way. I have to be led by the Lord, or I'll end up in a ditch somewhere. Amen? So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul's getting on these lines right here with the church in Thessalonica. Let's pick it up in verse number 1. He said, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. The apostle here appeals to Scripture. He says, pray for us that the word of the Lord can go forward. In other words, the Bible is what we need in this hour in the church. We don't need to hear what a politician thinks. You don't even need to hear what I think. What we need in our generation is the thundering of, thus saith the Lord. The Lord is the one that we need in our lives. We need not to raise up new denominations and new ministries and new people and new places, but we need to lift up a trumpet of the Lord's voice. We need to say, thus saith the Lord. If you don't have the word of God, you don't have the direction that you need. If you don't have the word of God, you don't have light for the situation you're in. There is no light for your feet, no lamp for your path. There's nothing in which you have any bearings without the word of God. It is the word of God that tells us to go to the left or go to the right. We're not left to our own accord. Now, the Holy Spirit comes in conjunction with the Word, but I want you to hear what the apostle said. That pray that the Word of God would have free course. That means for you and me, we need to lift up the Word of God. Now, there's a scripture that says that when God said that He magnifies His very Word above His name. God exalts His Word above His name. I don't know if you remember this, but Jesus said it in Matthew 5. He said that heaven and earth will pass away before what? One jot or one tittle would fall from His Word. That means everything that you see, the sun, the moon, the stars, the atmosphere, the earth, all of that would be gone in a minute before one Word of God should be questioned. Before one Word of God. That comma is supposed to be there. The word thee is supposed to be there. The word ye is supposed to be there. Every bit of it's supposed to be there. And we're not supposed to take any out or add any in, or God will put a curse on us or take away from us. But we're supposed to let the Word of God be the Word of God and go forward for us to give us direction for the generation in which we live. Now, we live in an age of deception. Paul later writes in 2 Corinthians that the devil masquerades as an angel of light. The devil never comes and says, hey, I'm here to kill you, I'm here to destroy you, I'm here to lie to you, I'm here to deceive you, and I'm here to put a yoke of bondage upon you, and I'm here to fill you with a few of my demons. The devil never does that. But how does he do it? He comes and he whispers and he says, they're cheating you, they're robbing you, they don't appreciate you, they don't love you. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to pull away. You need to isolate. You need to get mad. You need to get offended. You need to get even. You're never going to make it without this, that, or the other. And the enemy pours salt in those wounds to the point where you run away from God and you run away from the people that love you. You run away from the people of God and you isolate and you run around with people that don't know God and will lead you to hell. That's the devil's plan for your life, is to isolate you and to bring you into a company of people that will lead you to hell. So the apostle here, he says, let's pray that God's word would go forward, that it would have free course, right? I don't just want you to catch that. And then he says in verse 2, that why? So that we can be delivered from who? Unreasonable and wicked men. So I don't know if you know this, but not everybody's nice in the world. There's some horrible people. There's some horrible people. But you know, I'm reminded of what Leonard Ravenhill said. He said that if you look at someone, they're not your enemy if they have a social security number. Because it's not the person. It's the spirit motivating the person that is evil. It is the spirit motivating that person. And we have to remember that there is a spirit at work in the world in which we live. Not everybody believes like us. And so if they don't believe like us, if they're not like-minded and like faith, if they don't believe on the Lord Jesus, they're not going to be looking at things through the same light that we do, and they're going to lead you in a wrong path. The church today is looking for help in all the wrong places. I know of churches that, you know, instead of going out and the leadership praying and seeking God for a direction for the church, they just go to a conference and figure out what are the latest fads, and we begin to implement those things. When we as the church have to go and listen to someone else instead of listening to the Spirit of God, we've lost it. We begin to imitate the world instead of following Jesus. And what our generation needs is not many me's and many you's and many them's, and we don't need copycats and parrots, and we don't need to be imitators of men in this generation. The last thing that we need to do in our generation right now is to be an imitator of men. What we must do is get alone with God and get fresh with the fire of the Holy Ghost and be the man or the woman of God that He's called you to be in your place, in your neighborhood, like Mr. Rogers said. In your neighborhood, you need to be the man or the woman of God in your place, in your home, in your life, your parents, your children, your siblings. They need you to be an on fire man or woman of God. You need to have that anointing of God on your life right now. You might say, well, I'm not in ministry. Well, you know what? If you don't think you're in ministry, you done gotten deceived. Because if you have a beating pulse and you have a heart for God, the devil wants to destroy you. The devil wants to destroy you. And he wants to divide you from the people that you love. And he wants to divide you from the people at your church. And he wants to divide you from the Bible. And he wants to divide you from the prayer closet. And he wants to divide you from your pastor or from your church. He wants to separate you so that he can isolate you and lead you to destroy you. So what are we supposed to do? Well, he just says right here that the word of God has to go forward so that we can get delivered from these folks, right? Now look what he says in this next verse. It says that all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. In other words, you don't have to have all the answers. You just have to know who does. God is the one that will keep you and preserve you. God is the one that will tell you what to say, when to say it, where to go, when to go, what to do, how to do it. God is the one that should be directing us. He establishes us and he keeps us. That means that nothing that hell can do to you, nothing. Jesus said that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. We don't have anything to be afraid of so long as we're walking with Jesus, so long as the Word of God is going before us and that the Spirit of God is encamping around us. It is God who establishes us and keeps us. And it says, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you. That's to be obedient to the Scripture, right? And then verse 5, it says, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. This is what I want to look at right here, is that this direction right here is what we need in our lives. The direction here, F.B. Meyer, he said that this direction that comes from God into your hearts, he said that that word direction can be translated thoroughfare, which we would translate it a highway. And what he was saying was that the Spirit of God would use your heart as a highway. If you're surrendered to God and you let the Word of God have free course in your life, God will anoint you and equip you to be a highway, a vehicle in which glory can come down from the throne of God and operate through you into the lives of those around you. Because see, the world today needs to know the love of God. The world today needs to know the truth of Jesus Christ. The world today needs to know the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. But if we cut ourselves off from God, there's no highway there. But as we're submitted and surrendered to God, as the Word of God is having free course in our lives, then the love of God comes to our heart like a highway. And then the kingdom of God will begin to operate through you. You'll begin to take people by the hand and pray with them. You'll begin to share the word in due season with them. The anointing of God will come upon you and you'll speak a word to somebody in Walmart. You'll speak a word to somebody in the supermarket. You'll talk to somebody at work and they'll know. You may not wear a tag that says pastor. You may not wear a tag that says Holy Ghost filled, but they know when they need help, when they need a word of God, when they need someone to lay hands on them, when they need a devil cast out of them, when they need a healing, when they need to get set free, they'll know who to come to. They'll seek you out. They'll find you. They'll say, hey, I know you. I know you've got to walk with God. I know you've got the real thing. I need some help. I need some direction. And through you, God will be able to direct. God will be able to direct the kingdom of God through you into this world. Now, and we all say this, but we don't understand what it entails. Because if you're going to be in the Lord's army, guess what? You're going to have to be submitted and surrendered to Him. But what I want you to see, though, is that everybody knows that the world needs Jesus. Don't take a rocket scientist. I mean, people today, this generation, don't know which bathroom to use. People today, they don't know their left from their right. They question God. They question His authority. They question that He's the Creator. They question where they came from. They think that they came from slime and rocks and all kinds of stuff. Everything's backwards and upside down, and it's not getting any better anytime soon until the Lord comes back. So we all realize that the world needs Jesus. But what the church needs to realize is that you're the vehicle. You're the vehicle. He's going to direct the love of God to this world through you. It's when we get alone with God and we come into that prayer closet and we let the Spirit of God fill us and equip us that God will then empower us to be the men and women of God He's called us to be. You'll be the man of God in your home, not in word, but in deed. You'll take your kids by the hand and pray with them every night. You'll put your hands on them and pray for them to be set free. You'll call up people on the phone and say, "Hey, you know what? I got a lot of time on my hands, so I just been praying. I've been going through the Rolodex of the church. I've been praying for you, for your kids, for your husband. I've been praying, and I just want you to know that God gave me this word for you." And you'll just begin to be a blessing to people, and God will be using you as a vehicle to influence society. I want you to know something. I want you to know something. Everybody needs the love of God. Yes. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to be all smiley face emoji, but everybody needs the love of God because everybody's engaged in a battle for their soul. Everybody is. The Bible says that the enemy walks about like what? A roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That means that he's walking about all of us. None of us are exempt from the prowling of the devil. He's going to try your door handle, and then he's going to try mine. And then he's going to try hers, and then he's going to try his. None of us are exempt from that. Not even Peter or Paul was exempt from those things. And we have to realize that everybody needs the love of God. And that you're the vehicle in which God wants to use. And you know what D.L. Moody said one time about this? The scripture right here, he said that a rising tide lifts all boats. That means that you don't have to necessarily worry, because a lot of times, and I just heard it in my spirit, somebody says, "Well, what about me? I understand everybody else needs the love of God, but what about me? Who's going to give me the love of God?" As you open yourself up and you let the Lord use you, God will lift you. God will lift you. One of my favorite scriptures in Proverbs, it says that the liberal soul shall be made fat. That's not talking about politically. The liberal soul shall be made fat means the person that makes sure to pour into others' lives, God will make sure that you don't go without. If you take it upon yourself to be a vessel in which God can use, God will use you. And God won't leave you barren. God never will leave His vessel barren. And so Paul here is talking about this direction. And you know, as dark as our world is today, we need direction. We need direction in a bad way in our generation. I want to share with you a couple of other scriptures along this line. Turn with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. One of the things that we see, there's two main reasons that I want to give you for people not heeding God's direction, okay? These are two reasons why people miss it. I don't know about you, but I've missed it sometimes. There's been times that I missed it. There's been times that I got too busy. I was too busy with my own stuff. And I put God on the back burner. But I've determined. This was years ago. I said, "Lord, I am determined from this point forward, I'm yours." God put that in my heart when He saved me. I was not owed one more breath. I don't know about you, but I wasn't. When God saved me, it was cataclysmic to my soul. I mean, I was at the end of my rope. I remember telling God, "I am a sorry individual. I keep wrecking my life. I destroy my life. If I get the steering wheel, I'm going to run into the ditch or run into the wall. I'm not good at life." I remember having to come to that place and just admitting that to God. And God graciously saved me, and He filled me with the Holy Ghost. And He didn't have to. Amen. He didn't have to. He could have let me die. He could have let me rot in prison somewhere. He could have let me destroy my life. But His grace led me to repentance. It was that goodness of God, His grace. And if you're here today and you're listening to this, God loves you. And it is His gracious spirit that is working in your life is the only reason you're not 6 feet under right now. Amen. And if you're not, if you're alive right now, then God wants to do something in you. You're here for a purpose. If you weren't here for a purpose, God would have already taken you out. When our race is finished, we're gone. We get to go home. We get to go back to Jesus. And I'm longing for that day. But from this day to that day, we've got a job to do. And one of the things that I remember, I was just praying, Lord, I'm not good at life. I'm sorry. And then the Lord just dropped in my heart, from this moment forward, you're mine. Your life is not your own. You were bought with a price, right? The blood of Jesus Christ bought me. I was bought right then. I was not my own. And the times that I've missed it as a Christian are the times that I forgot that fact. When I began to live for myself again, I lost it. That anointing began to wane. The power of God began to fail. I began to run on fumes. But there was those times, those gracious times, God reminds me ever so gently, ever so awesomely. He just says, and he whispers, he says, you're not your own. You forgot. You've gotten distracted from that. From the time that God saved you, you released you. Now, that's the way you get saved. If you're saved, you release you. You die to self. Old things pass away. You don't get to have the old man and the new man running life together. Old things pass away, get put down in the grave. Like it says in Romans 6:4, you get buried with him in baptism of death. You have to identify with the old man dying that new life may come. New life's not going to run in old life. Jesus said you don't put new wine in old wineskins. He's not going to pour out the anointing of the Holy Ghost in an old vessel. He's going to make the heart new, and then he's going to put the engine, the gasoline in the engine. But he's going to put a new engine in it first. And one of the things that we need to remember is that God doesn't owe us another breath. So every breath that we have needs to be his. That's why you're here. You're here to glorify him. You're not here to gratify yourself. You're not here to indulge yourself. Well, I just like it. Well, okay. But what is God like? Well, that's pretty hardcore, Pastor. Well, welcome to Christianity. It's not Jumbotron Christianity. It's biblical Christianity. Amen. You're not your own. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. Amen. If you're a Christian. Now, one of the things that I wanted to get into, though, is that we get distracted. We get distracted. And one of the things that you see in the life of the nation of Israel is whenever they missed it, whenever they lost the direction for their life, they got cloudy vision because they were distracted. You remember whenever God took them out of Egypt and he took them down into the desert? You remember what they began to do? Listen, God was directing them. God said, I'm going to go before you and I'm going to be behind you. I'm going to be a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. I will guide you. I will go with you. I will lead you. And he told you the same thing. He said that he would direct your path. He said that he would lead your steps. He said he would never leave you. He would never forsake you. No, not ever. And if he said that, he means that. And yet, we, like them, we get distracted. Well, why isn't anybody else having to go through this? Why am I the only one having to go through this? Why isn't anyone else struggling like I'm struggling? Why do I have to go the long way and they get to go the short way? And we begin to get distracted. Instead of just following Jesus, we begin to look to the left, look to the right, look where we're at, look where they're at. We begin to monitor everybody else and we begin to get aware of everybody else, and we've done got distracted from where Jesus is leading us. Jesus is leading you. He's leading you to the promised land, but you have to be led. You ever tried to bring an animal to water and make them drink? I mean, you can open their mouth and shove it in there, but it's not going good. It's not. You can, the saying goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. Right? Well, God's the same way. I mean, he's leading, but are we following? That's the thing. Are we thirsty? Are we desiring Him to lead us? And truth be told, a lot of times people just want to serve God in name only and lead their own lives. They don't want God to lead them. And that's where you see a lot of problems in the Christianity that we have today. Which a lot of people say is an inch thick and a mile wide. Superficial, in other words. I don't want superficial Christianity. Superficial Christianity didn't save me from being a drunkard. Superficial Christianity wouldn't have got me out of the bind I was in. It was only the power of God that broke that. It was only whenever I cried out to God from the depth of my soul. It was only at my knees, at the end of myself, that I found new life. This superficial Christianity is not going to cut it, especially for the dark days in which we live. But watch this. Our vision gets cloudy when we get distracted. If truth be told, that's why a lot of us aren't directed by God anymore, because we've done gotten distracted. You can get distracted by I just got to put God on the back burner because I need to find someone to get married to, or I need to get a job, or I just need to put God on the back burner for a little bit and do this, do that. We get distracted. It's easy because the devil's always competing for your affection. He's always competing for your affection. Sometimes, you need to remember this, sometimes what is good is not what God wants for you. Sometimes the devil will give you something good to keep you from God, who is great. Sometimes the devil will give you something good to keep you away from God, who is great. And you have to remember that. You have to be the one that says no to certain things if it's pulling you away from Jesus. You have to be the one to say, you know what, I love this show, but there's nothing wrong with it, but I just noticed that as I watch this, I lose track of time, and then I go to bed, I'm tired, and I didn't pray, I didn't read the Bible, I didn't do any of that. Ever so slightly, the devil will just use us and lead us away from what our heart truly loves. And you have to be the one that says, and monitor that and say, you know what? I'm leaving my first love and come back. So we get cloudy. Our vision gets cloudy when we're distracted. Second thing that happens is impatience. Impatience. I know nobody here deals with impatience. But sometimes we want God to move and we want Him to move now, like some spoiled kids, right? I want a piece of candy and I want it now. Why? I want to go to so-and-so's house now. I want that toy. You try to take a kid in Walmart, right? I want that now. We'll get it next time. That's not going to cut it for a lot of kids. Because impatience, it's inbred in our society. Impatience, everything's now. We have a microwaved society. Well, you can't microwave the Holy Ghost. You can't microwave a word of prophecy. You can't microwave a word of knowledge. You can't microwave the gifts of the Spirit. They come by the Spirit of God. Amen. It's like Jesus said, when somebody gets saved, it's like as the wind blows. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. All you know is that you feel it. Amen. And that's how the Holy Ghost is. But we want to microwave it, condense it, systemize it, strategize it, publicize it, do all this, Facebook Live it. We want to do all those things to it. But God is not going to be mocked. God knows the desire of our hearts. And He knows that. And when we get impatient on God, what it shows is that we no longer have confidence that He's going to do what He said He's going to do. I want you to know something. Everything that God told you in this book is true. You may not see it till you're 99, but it's true. God told Abraham, I'm going to give you a son with Sarah. And through impatience, Ishmael was born. Y'all know the story of Ishmael? God told him this is going to happen. He believed him for a little while. He was walking around in high cotton for a while. He said, praise God. God promised me I'm going to have a son with Sarah. And then years went by. And his shout became a whisper. And years went by, and then he just began to say, well, you know, I know God could do it. I know God could do it. And then that lack of confidence in God just became impatience. And, well, maybe God just needs me to help him out. You know God said he'd provide for all my needs, but maybe he just needs me to help him out, and I'll go rob Capital One. I'll help him out. This is those thoughts. We get impatient on God. It shows a lack of confidence in his word and his character. But I want you to know, if God said it to you, you can bank on it. It's true. Amen. It'll happen for you. Because God's not a liar. God's word is true. And what he promised you, he will do. He is faithful. We read that in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 4. He is faithful. Amen? I praise God he's faithful. Amen. Some of us on our best days faithful, but we all have bad days. God don't have bad days. God's consistent like that. He's good like that. So Psalm 139, and we're going to go down to verse number 23. One of the things that's necessary for us to be led of God, this right here. Search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You see, the psalmist here, the Psalm of David, he asked God to search his heart. Try me. Search me. Just look within me, because I want you to know something. You can put on a smile in front of other people. And you can act like you got it all together. You can act like they didn't bother you. You can act, you know how it is whenever you get mad at somebody or somebody offends you and you get that look on your face? Like, I don't care what else you say to me, it's not going to bother me one bit. You can act tough. You can put that front on there. You can do all those things. And sometimes you can smile at people and act like you love them and do this and do that. But only God knows the real you. And the part here I want you to catch is that God already knew what was in David's heart. God already knows what's in your heart. He knows what you're battling right now. He knows your besetting sin. He knows the struggles. He knows the pain that you've walked through. He knows how heavy the load's been. He knows how long the road is. He knows. And he knows what you're up against. But you know what he's looking for? He's not looking for you to get a bright idea. He's not looking for you to come up with a new plan. He's not looking for you to say, oh, I know what I'm going to do. He's not looking for that. He's looking for you to get this heart of David. What was the heart of David? David, it was a man after God's own heart. And what started it right there? He said, God, search me. In other words, Lord, here I am. I'm going to open up my heart to you. I want you to remove anything that's impure. I want you to remove anything that's not of you. I want you to remove every false motive, every false thought. I want you to remove every offense. I want you to remove every wrong thought. Everything that's not of you, I want you to remove those things. Here I am. God already knew his heart. God is not like a sitting on a mountain somewhere waiting for you to come. God's everywhere. He's omnipresent. God is omniscient. He already knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end. He made you. He formed us. I mean, he was here before anything existed. So we're not talking about some guru sitting on a mountain somewhere that we got to come tell our story to. God already knows. He knew how you would die before you were born. He knitted you together. He knows what's going on in the recesses of your soul. He knows your thoughts. He knows them. See, whenever Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, God knew exactly where he was. You going to sit there and tell me God didn't know where Adam was? You want to sit there and say God was doing this with binoculars saying, Adam, where are you? No, not God. God is creator. He's immaterial. He's not made of things. There's no molecules or gas to God. He's everywhere. He's spiritual. And when God told Adam, "Where are you?" God was asking Adam to admit where he was. And if you want to get where God wants to take you, you're going to have to ask God to search you. You know, there's times that, you know, especially with a boy now, they get splinters because they're always outside doing stuff. And they'll get bobos or this or that. And I may know about it. I may have heard him fall or something. But sometimes, you know, I could literally hold him down and pull a splinter out. But it goes way better whenever he comes to me and he says, "Hey, Dad, I got something in my hand right here. Can you get it out for me?" The process goes way better when he comes to me like that than me having to hunt him down, hold him down, and pull that thing out against his will. I can do it, but it's not fun. We had a kid that never liked to take medicine. You got to hold him down, shove it in there. It's not fun. Sometimes the Lord has to do that to us. Sometimes against our will, God has to get us in a headlock and do things to us. And he will. Ask Paul. Paul was on the road to Damascus and got blinded. I mean, God will intervene when he has to. But let's not get to that point. If we want to be directed by God and follow God, I want you to know this. I want you to catch this. You have to come to that place where you say, "Search me." When you say, "Search me," what you've done is you've surrendered to God. Then, after the searching, then comes the leading and the directing. You want to know where God wants to take you in life? You're not going to know. God won't share it with you until you surrender. You want to know what's behind the next door? You want to know what's around the hill? You want to know how to navigate through this or navigate through that? You've got a bad situation with your spouse. You've got a bad situation with your besetting sin. You've got a bad situation with your kid. Maybe you've got a bad situation. You live in a nation that's ungodly. You work in a place that's ungodly. Or you're around ungodly this, or you're in a bad situation. How many of you know what it's like to be in a situation where it's so bad you don't even know where to begin? Somebody comes and asks you, "Well, you know, what's going on?" And you say, "You want the long story or the short story?" The short story is it's hard. The long story, you're going to have to pour a cup of coffee. Which one you want? And sometimes it's just not easy. It's not easy to have to rehash those things. But God already knows those things. And what I'm trying to get you to see is that God wants you to surrender those things. God will be your light if you'll sit at his feet. God will be your light if you'll sit at his feet. If you're willing to come sit at his feet, God will light your path. God will. He's good. And he loves you. And he cares for you. And no matter how dark the world in which we live is, because bad things happen to people all the time. And it's a shame that we have to live in this generation. But I will tell you this. You were born for this time. You weren't born out of time. God put you here on purpose. You're here on purpose. And because of that, we know this. We know this. No matter how dark the world is, God's light is brighter. The light of God is brighter, no matter how dark it is. Now, I want to close with you in Jeremiah chapter 6 real quick. Jeremiah chapter 6, and I'm going to take you over to verse number 16. I'm going to give you a couple of other things for information, but we'll get into them a little bit later. Just for information's sake. Can I tell you this? When God begins to direct you, sometimes it don't make sense. Sometimes it don't make sense. I know people that they had a job, six figures. And God told them to quit and go somewhere where they didn't have a job. That don't make sense. Not in the natural. But in the spiritual, it makes all the sense in the world. There's times, you know, missionaries back in the day, they didn't buy round-trip tickets to the beach. Back in the day, the missionaries bought a one-way ticket. And they spent their life. You know what I'm talking about? Spent their life meaning, here's my life. I'm going to die here. Here I am. And it was about total submission and total surrender, and then God was able to totally direct their steps. We want God's direction, but we don't want to be surrendered. And what I'm trying to get you to see is, no matter how dark the day is, God will direct you if you'll surrender. If you'll surrender. Well, and catch this. Please catch this. You don't even have to look outside the doors and look at how poor society is. Because we can get on that. But the devil's a liar. He knows his time is short, and his voice is getting louder in our lives. He is timing his attacks. He's waiting for your weak moments. He's waiting for the time that your guard is down. He's waiting for the time that somebody hurts you. He's waiting for those moments when we have the least resistance. And he'll come with the fullest amount of force possible to try to distract you, to try to mislead you, to try to get you to hurt yourself, to try to get you to leave the people that love you and to leave the God that died for you. But God's truth is greater than the lie of the enemy. I want you to know, Jesus said that his truth will make you free. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. God is greater than the enemy. It is the anointing of God that breaks the strongholds of the devil. And he wants to keep you away from that. He wants you to keep you out of that book, off your knees, and away from God. But if you'll just come to God and say, here I am, God will supernaturally take his finger from heaven and he'll break off every stronghold, every disease, every setback, every dark thing, and he'll make you new in Jesus' name. That's what the enemy doesn't want for you. The enemy doesn't want you to be free. He wants to keep you bound. He wants to keep you mad and offended and hurt and away from the people of God and away from God and away from the presence of God. But God has come that you may have life. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it abundantly. God wants to set you free. And if you'll be free, you'll be free indeed. That's God's desire. Now, one of the things that I want you to know, though, is that you have to come to God and say, here I am. Here I am. You know, even Legion. You remember the story of Legion in the book of Mark, chapter 5? When Jesus came over to that island of the Gadarenes, and that man that was filled with the legion of demons, I want you to catch this. That man, he was filled with all those demons, but you know what he did? When Jesus hit the shore of that place, he worshiped. He worshiped. That man knew there was something different about Jesus. He came to Jesus, and Jesus set him free. Jesus delivered him from all those demons. He set him free. He didn't have to come back. He didn't have to pay $39.95 for the DVD. He didn't have to go to the conference. He didn't have to wear a t-shirt. He didn't have to do anything to anybody. All he had to do is come to Jesus. And if that's all that he had to do, that's all you have to do too. You just have to come to Jesus. You have to say, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I'm ready to get real with you. I'm ready to get real with you. You see that man, that legion, that man that was filled with the legion of demons, he came to Jesus and he was there. I told you earlier, sometimes you can go to church and not be there. I did that at school all the time. I was there, but I wasn't there. I was there in body form, but I wasn't there in heart. I wasn't there in spirit. And you can come to church and not come. But you see, if you'll come to Jesus and you'll just give all of who you are to him, he'll take that finger from heaven and he'll break off every single demonic stronghold. In one moment of time, he will break off every lie that the enemy's told you. He will break off every addiction. He will break off every bondage, every offense, the pain of your past. God will make your present and your future greater than your past. Old things pass away, all things made new in Jesus' name. God, you know, God said he's going to wipe away every tear. He's going to wipe away every tear. He's good. Now, we have that responsibility. And if you'll come to God, God's no respecter of persons. He's not going to do something for me that he won't for you. He loves you. He's your God. He made you. He shed his blood on Calvary's hill for you. If there was no one else on earth except for you, he would have done it for you because he loves you and he does not want you to go to hell. He doesn't want you to hold on to the pain. He doesn't want you to hold on to the bondage. He doesn't want you to hold on to the darkness. He wants you to let it go and surrender your life to him. Now look at this. Look at this in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. It's one of the greater verses in the Bible, but I want to point out something in it for you. Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Jeremiah was preaching to, people that weren't turning to God. And what he was saying was, there is a path. There is an old path. There is a good way. There is a great way. There is freedom. There is liberty. There is another way to do this. But there's a three-letter word in there. He said, ask. Ask. Ask for that path. If you'll come to God and ask him to set you free, he'll set you free. If you come to God and you ask him to save you, he'll save you. If you come to God and you ask him to fill you with the Holy Ghost, he'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. If you come to God and you ask him to do what he said he would do, he'll do it. If he said it, he'll do it. But you've got to come to him and ask. Say, Lord, I'm in darkness. You said that those that know you and follow you will never walk in darkness. And God will do that for you. God will give you the light of life. Because he loves you. And he wants to set you free. And this morning as we